When we celebrate the birth of Christ, oftentimes our attention is turned to hymns like we just sung and to the narrative in Luke's gospel that gives us the event itself. But prior to that, in the book of Isaiah, this is also one of the passages that we turn to frequently at Advent. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, the thing that you have to remember about the context of that prophecy is the preceding chapter. What was the condition of the people? They weren't sitting around celebrating festive occasions. It's described like this. And they will pass through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged. And they will speak contemptuously against their king and against their God, and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no gloom for her who was in this anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. When we turn over to our New Testament, to the fourth chapter of Matthew, we read these words. Now Jesus, when he had heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were seated in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. Listen to the context that is described of these people. Greatly distressed, in gloom and anguish, enveloped in darkness, thick darkness, deep darkness. This phrase, deep darkness, is a very odd expression in the Hebrew language. It literally means to be enveloped in an overwhelming shadow, as we read, for example, of the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible, when it speaks of darkness, is not just referring to the absence of light. Now, sometimes it does. But all through Scripture, we read of a number of times in which darkness is used as a metaphor for depravity. Listen to the following verses, and these can be just simply look up a concordance. John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's interesting that when the Bible uses this kind of language to describe our condition, it's referring to moral and intellectual darkness. In Ephesians chapter 8, verse 5, we read this, For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you might proclaim the excellency of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." William Hendrickson, great New Testament commentator, has this observation about what it means to be sitting in darkness. He says, "This is always in Scripture a designation that is used figuratively to refer to a delusion, a blindness of mind and of heart, of human depravity and despondency. All these things are pictures of man's fallen condition." Now, the antonym of darkness is light, which accordingly refers to the true knowledge of what it means to know God. Because, you see, we are described in Scripture as living in darkness. We had a memory verse that we memorized many months ago, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13. Remember it? Let me read it to you again. "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The great light has dawned with the advent of Christ. He has come to make known to us not only our condition as children of wrath, lost and under the dominion of darkness, but to rescue us from this. That's why in Matthew's gospel, when the announcement is given to Joseph that his wife is pregnant, but not by human agency, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means God Almighty saves, because He will save His people from their sins. This is why we celebrate Advent. This is why we celebrate the birth of Christ. This is why we look back on the most significant event in all of human history. God entered into this world in the form of a child, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem us from the curse of the broken law. Let's look more carefully at what it means here when it says He has rescued us from a dominion. We were under a dominion, a power that we are oftentimes completely unaware of. We are said to be having our minds darkened by sin. This darkness envelops us so that we cannot see us for what we are. It reminds me of the story of the king who had no clothes, and everyone saw it except himself. We like that. We come into this world blind, destitute of righteousness, lacking in anything that would commend us to God, under judgment, under the curse of a broken law, and deserving of judgment. The Apostle Paul says in that epistle to the Ephesians that we too were once children of wrath. That's a Hebraic expression that talks about children that are characterized by deserving judgment. And that's what we were. And He has rescued us. The greatest rescue mission took place not in a manger outside of Bethlehem, but on a cross outside of Jerusalem. The baby that came into this world, wrapped in swaddling and laid in a manger, was destined to die a horrible death. And He knew it. He knew fully well the reason that He had come into this world. He is the light of the world, but the world loves darkness and not light. And yet He came still into a world described like it is in Isaiah, full of misery. 2020, how are we going to remember it? I can't think of a worse year in my life. Can any of you? There's not been anything like 2020. For almost a year now, we've been under this pandemic. And we've seen basically some of the most worst aspects of our society at large. And it's characterized as a society that is living under the dominion of darkness. We are called to be children of light. But first and foremost, we must be bearers of light. And bearers of light means, we used to sing that little hymn, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine." We do not do this through our character. We do this through our message. The gospel is never about what God has done for me and how He has changed me, as great as that may be. The gospel message is always about what Christ has done. He came into the world, as Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. He rescued me. And listen how it else is put. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us. What a glorious theme. He has moved us out from under this dominion of darkness into a kingdom in which we are made sons of the living God. He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And then He says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. This is the Christmas message, that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for sinners, to make an atonement, to propitiate the wrath of a holy God, and to justify His people through His death, burial, and resurrection. That's the greatest gift you can have. If you're here tonight and you do not know what it means to have come to faith in Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven, that is the gift of God that is offered to you in the gospel. It simply is to be received by faith and by faith alone. May God grant you by the power of the Holy Spirit the new birth tonight, that you may rejoice in a Savior who lives forever, who reigns now in heaven, and who is coming back one day to take us to be with Himself. Let us close in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we're so thankful that You have rescued us from a life of sin and misery to which we all deserved. We're so grateful that You have rescued us from a dominion of darkness that we were totally unaware of, that we were described as those people who were in anguish of soul, not knowing what it is to have forgiveness of sins. But now through Jesus Christ, we have this glorious message that has been given to us, that in Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through His blood. Lord, grant that no one leave here tonight without coming face to face with the reality that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask these things in His glorious name. Amen.